Blog Talk Radio.
From the big power balls of Las Cruces, heading down to City Hall to check on recalls, and coming from a dark, dank, squat, medieval, sparking single wide trailer, Kelly O'Connell 606, good morning to you. It is the 11th of February 2015. Good morning to you. Thanks for tuning in. I've got a good show. I've got Ben Rossin, who's called me. He put up the bad signal, the Rossin signal, and asked if he could come on this morning, of course. You know, if you have any stories, if you know anybody you think would be a good guest, don't be afraid to contact me. I mean, I normally, if somebody asks to come on, we'll give them a green light. All right, so we've got some headlines here for you. And end of fake news, Jon Stewart leaving Daily Show. End of real news, Brian Williams suspended for 6 months. That is ridiculous. I mean, anyway, I knew they weren't going to get rid of the guy, but Jon Stewart. This may come as a shock, but I have never watched the guy, and I cannot stand him because he pretends to be neutral, and I think that he's pretty far to the left, and he misuses comedy to attack conservatives and prop up liberalism. And I know he's gone after people on both sides of the aisle, but I find him to be very biased and not really particular. I guess one of my main problems with him is if I thought he was funny, I would watch him maybe even, because I think comedy is something that we desperately need. But I don't know. And I'm not saying he's not funny to me, because I know there's plenty of people who say they find him wildly entertaining. Therefore, to them, he's funny. Therefore, it's not up to me to say that he's not funny. But I don't find his delivery I don't find it entertaining. I don't know what else to say. I saw him do a stand-up, and I had the same reaction. Anyway, some of your headlines here. And I think that I wanted to get back and talk about Jenner a little bit, because it is a very strange story, and I think that we need to think about what is happening to our society a little bit. If like, the most masculine and athletic person of his day could then turn into be a cross-dressing, transgendered, sex-changing woman. I mean, to say that there's something wrong is the most obvious thing in the world, but I think it bears a little bit of analysis. Anyway, Obama asking for worldwide authority to go after ISIS. Doesn't he already have worldwide authority? I mean, aren't we already over there? Aren't there countries begging him to come in and I mean, I don't understand this. So he doesn't have to follow states Congress, the Senate and the House. He doesn't have to listen to them. He doesn't have to go through them, but he has to go through the world. What? that's like a complete inversion of the theory of the United States. You know, maybe he wants to go to the United Nations. Obama's war authorization limits ground forces. Bloomberg.com. President Barack Obama will soon give Congress his proposal for a new authorization for the use of military force against Islamic State fighters, and it will place strict limits on the types of U.S. ground forces that can be deployed. Why? Just go over there. Look, I mean, it's not that. I'm sure it's hard. I'm sure I wouldn't want to be on the front line of this thing, although I would. I think a lot of guys in this country would like to be over there with a sniper rifle about these days, if you know what I mean. I think there's a lot of people with a huge chip on their shoulder towards these ISIS people, who kind of symbolize a lot of the things that we've been dealing with these last few decades. There's a lot of guys that would like to help out in some way. So why does everything, it's like everything becomes a game with this guy. And, you know, Obama's the smartest person in history. So, you know, he's both the most smartest person in history and the most illiterate. All right. So some more headlines here. Feds bracing for illegal immigrant onslaught. An onslaught. Man charged with killing three North Carolina Muslim students. Drone scare at LAX airport, Los Angeles airport. The drone went right over a plane, almost crashed into it. Could have brought it down. Google has unveiled a smarter, faster robot dog. Climbs stairs, recovers from being kicked. So, if you're frustrated at work, if you need to burn off a few calories, you know what I mean? If one of your hobbies is kicking the dog, why not get a robot dog, which I don't know if it can bite yet, but I'm sure they can put that function in there. But it can recover from being kicked. Coexist protesters brutally beaten by French Muslims. What do you expect? Illegals squeezing school budgets. That was already in the news, and it's come back. More cities grant voting rights to non-citizens. Get that. You don't have to be a citizen to vote. It's a movement. How many of these movements, these like far-left movements, actually bear up to scrutiny? If you study them, you take a look at, you know what I'm saying? You take a look at these things. How many of them live up to the promises? So I've got a little clip here about, if I can get this dang thing to play, Washington Times. All right, now my computer's frozen, but although that goes without saying. But all right, so how many of these ideas, there's an idea out there that we shouldn't be prejudiced or biased against non-citizens. Does that actually bear up to scrutiny? Does a person who doesn't have citizenship in America have the same dog in the fight? Number one. Number two, if you're not a citizen here, do you know about America the way that other people who live in the country that are citizens know about it? For example, do you have the same commitments, the same affections? More importantly, what does it mean to be a citizen, and why are we throwing the idea of citizenship out the window? Why does it mean nothing to be a citizen in this country? Why is citizenship the electronic dog that everybody's kicking, you know? What is so bad about the idea of citizenship? You know what I mean? Why does that have to be killed? You know, so one of the things you'll notice about far leftism is it goes around killing things to you know, doesn't use the democratic process, just tries to kill institutions and ideas. Here is federal building bureaucracy to deal with bet to build bureaucracy to deal with Obama amnesty application onslaught. All right, so anyway, we'll come back. I want to talk about this Bruce Jenner thing, but I want to look at a little bit of New Mexico news first. Cowboy Junkies, Murder Tonight in the Trailer Park, live. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. Good morning, Kelly here. It's 6:20, and it's pretty nice out there. Could be a lot colder. I'm going to check the old telephone here. 39 degrees out there. So it's almost 40 degrees, so I didn't need a coat today, I'll tell you that. All right, so a few more headlines. Brian Williams is leaving. I wonder if the guy, I'm sure he feels embarrassed to have been caught fibbing, but first of all, do you consider those lies to be anything, or the tall tales? Is it harmless? Is it harmless to say, I saved two puppies on my hands and knees in a burning house? 523-1450. Does it matter if the head of your news, your news department, basically the face of the whole organization, tells little fibs that he got his helicopter got hit by a rocket? All right, so here is a very bizarre claim. Although that might be indicative of how a lot of people think. Democratic politician, people come to government to feed their souls. What? Let's look into this here. Representative Elijah Cummings. Democrat Maryland. This guy needs to see a little bit of The Wire to understand what government needs to do. All right, here, check him out, Elijah Cummings. That's sick, isn't it? With all due respect to the Ken Miyagashimas of the world, you have to be mentally ill, I think, you have to see the government as a church, or the government as a god of some kind, which is not uncommon on the left. Feds charge Iowa woman over how she deposited her husband's cash. So these rules are kind of ramping up. Hillary Clinton is hiding, apparently. Rand Paul audit the Fed. Do you think we should audit the Fed? 523-1450. 805-6180, if you're just laying in bed there, Frankie. They say that the Bruce Jenner transgender, he should change his name. He should leave his name. Brucey Transgender. What do you think? Not transgender, but how about Brucey Transgender? I don't know. It just came to me. Record number of Americans giving up citizenship. Newspaper carrier chased, beaten by neighborhood watchman. That's what I call keeping a watch. Maybe his job, maybe he works for the government. Maybe he's feeding his soul by keeping people illiterate. Secretly swiped hackers stealing account numbers out of thin air. Ancient sex cult sites found in Israel. Here's something that I'm kind of popping these stories up as they to play for you. But ancient sex cult found in Israel. And we just found some tablets from ancient Babylon that talked about how the Israelis did when the Babylonian captivity occurred, and In the Old Testament, there's this story of how the Jews were taken by, I think it was King Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't it? And he brings these Jews over there. Well, there is actually there's a lot of historical foundation. 5:23:14:54. This for the biblical stories. They have been not all of the stories have been verified, of course, but if you keep your eyes on archaeological news, there's a lot of stuff that actually has been out of the Bible, which I find interesting. All right, 100 ancient sex cult sites found in Israel. Mysterious 8,000-year-old stone circles filled with phallic carvings discovered in the mountains. Sites in the Eilat Mountains contain phallic stone structures. Well, this is appropriate today. We're talking about Bruce Jenner. Contain stone circles with phallic carvings pointing to the center. Researchers believe hundreds more sites may exist in the region. And so I'm looking at some things that look like a phallus and then other things that look like, the female equivalent. So it's very interesting, isn't it? I have to read that and save that. Save that and read it, I think. And a little more news for you. NORAD commander, Russian bombers becoming more aggressive near U.S. territory. Of course they are. Nobody's standing up to them. State anti-American harassment growing in Russia. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy that does Facebook, says a real estate developer is trying to extort him. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Obama's 332-page plan to control the internet, and the commissioner says it is worse than I had imagined. Do you want the president to regulate the internet? Think about how much commerce has come up. Think about America, say, 20 years ago, really before the internet had completely taken off. Now, think about all of the jobs that the internet has created. I'm not talking about the tech bubble. I'm talking about places like Amazon, all the stuff that's sold on the internet. You want the government to come in and regulate that. I mean, who in their right mind wants the government? I mean, this is so typical of, I think this is basically, you see the government, the left has left their, you have the left side of the aisle, you have the right side of the aisle. The left side of the aisle, the Democratic Party, has left their historical roots. I don't think historically, for example, the Democrats would want to mastermind the internet. Maybe I'm mistaken, but to show up after something is built and say, we created this, you didn't build that, we're going to control this, I find that to be absolutely absurd. I mean, let the internet continue to grow. If you want to regulate it, get porn off of it. I mean, how much happiness does pornography bring? All right, don't ask a junior high kid that question, but all right, let us transition into a little bit of local news here. And local couple, I think somebody won a $2 million jackpot locally, so that's interesting. Home Depot hiring 180 people in El Paso. Las Cruces for busy spring season. Get your application in there. Deputy slain at Hotel Encanto, sued over tight handcuffing. So he handcuffed somebody too tightly. How is that news? Las Cruces man accused of beating girlfriend. Lane closures at El Paso. I found last night, I saw that this thing came up. I was telling somebody about Myron May, this prosecutor that ended up getting shot in Florida. Somebody has taken his hard drive and his thumb drive, and they put it on the internet. And I just found that so bizarre, in that it was a kind of a conspiracy thing in there. Like, they've killed brother Myron, and now they're coming after us. I just find this, I don't know. I'm gonna look this up here, right here. I just find that weird, to say the least. Well, Myron had said that there's somebody's trying to use a heat. All right, it just got a warning from a text. Stop reading over the headlines. Dig into the headlines. Well, let me, I tell you, we'll come back to headlines, but let me play a little bit of state news. Central New Mexico Correctional Facilities warden others on paid leave after sex assault accusations. Disgusting. All right, so that's kind of naughty. Yeah, there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of sexual harassment in the prison system that you wouldn't necessarily know about. Everybody hears about rape and everything, but all right, we'll take a break. Here's a little more Cowboy Junkies. Kelly O'Connell and Murder Tonight in the Trail Park live. Did you know New Mexico has more trailers than any other state? I met a guy that said, had never even seen a trailer before I came to New Mexico. And I did personally live in a trailer 1 year in Oregon in high school. It was interesting. It was not roomy as you might imagine. Not roomy enough, but it was okay. Cowboy Junkies, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 633-523-1450. It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. And I wanted to get into something because something that is out there in the news. I got Ben Rossum coming at 7, so I've kind of got kind of a tight window today. By the way, one story, tech employment, New Mexico trails and cyber state report. We're about in the middle, and a total of, and this is according to the Cyber State 2015, the definitive state-by-state analysis of the U.S. tech industry, it ranked us 30th, so we're below the middle in that one. Among states in tech employment, 26th overall in tech wages, a total of 7.7% of private sector employees in New Mexico work in the tech industry, and the average income is about $80,000. I think that's ridiculous because we've got one of the best tech grids out there with Los Alamos and everything. We can do more in this state. We really can, folks, to have more jobs. We need to have a little bit of progress here. And all right, so just we need to update that. All right, so Bruce Jenner is getting a sex change. Now, Bruce Jenner was the greatest athlete, according to his performance in the 1970s. This performance in the decathlon, he not only won the gold medal, but he shattered the record. And now he's getting a sex change, you know, like 40 years later. Here's a little clip on that. And just to let you know, this is from ABC News. Bruce Jenner just killed somebody. He rammed his SUV into a lady and pushed her onto the street on the Pacific Coast Highway, and she died. She got ended up getting hit by somebody else. An animal rights activist taken before her prime. So anyway, this is like 6 minutes long. I don't want to wait that long, but there is this guy is getting a sex change. There's been a lot of speculation over why he's had all these surgeries. He had his Adam's apple shaved. He has, you know, I mean, he's just had all these things. And now his ex-wife is saying, I had no clue Bruce wanted to be a woman. He was stealing his daughter's underwear. And so from the, anyway, let's break here. And here we have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
Mike, yes, fill us in on sex changes.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how could he fit into Kim Kardashian's undies?
He must have had false buttocks,
that's a pretty big booty.
Yeah, that's quite the caboose. Well, what do you accept the idea, the theory behind sex change, that people can change their sex? What's your analysis here, Mike?
I never really gave it any thought, you know.
Now I just look at them as kind of
like freaks, you know, like freaks of nature or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you don't accept somebody can change their sex, their gender?
No, I just think it's just a mental problem or something. I don't know.
Well,
they got to. I can't believe his mother's going along with it. She's saying she's more proud of him doing this than winning all those gold medals in the Olympics.
When I heard that, I felt like a slug that somebody had put salt on. I fell to the ground. I fell to the ground. I began to dissolve. I mean, that is so. Think about 50 years ago. We had these like reactions to stuff that were not the result of social engineering, and social engineering is when they use propaganda to change opinions. But I opinions that were based just basically out of your gut, normal human, you know, reactions. And now we're so heavily influenced by propaganda, you can't have a reaction anymore. You can't have a natural reaction without being called a monster.
It's terrible. You know, I mean, you look, I was listening this morning, Kelly, on Sirius Radio. I'm 121.
Yeah.
And they had this guy from MIT. He's wrote a book. It's called Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah.
And he talks about slavery in this country with the founding of these universities like Princeton, Harvard.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I never really explored that too much, but times really have changed. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, today you just get labeled a racist for nothing.
Well, be that as it may, I think it's fascinating that whether you're a moral or immoral person is no longer connected to your religion. It's connected to how society sees you. And so the society will decide if, you know, if you're a bad person. How is it? I mean, I think the most scary thing is, to put any particular subject aside, that there's no right to free speech anymore. You can say things that you want, but then you're immediately pushed. I mean, how is it possible in 5 years that people can become total social outcasts for simply saying, I don't, you know, agree with something, for example, like gay marriage, sex changes, stuff like that? I don't understand that. Well, I mean, why doesn't the left support free speech? Isn't that part of a radical agenda, being able to say what you want?
I don't know, Kelly. It's just, you know, you got to appease these progressives or something. You know, I mean,
it's like any other appeasement, though. It always, each time you appease, the price goes up.
That's right.
All right, Mike, I got to take a break here. Anything else?
That should do it. Have a good one. And I just want to say, people, please do not sign up for Obamacare if you value your freedom.
Could you explain just a little bit on that briefly?
Well, I mean, this website, they can't even, the hackers are, what was the name of that 80 million people just got hacked into through some medical website? I forgot the name of it.
All right, so there's like, hacking out there, but what else? I mean, what do you talk about freedom briefly?
Well, I mean, you're putting all your information in there, and it's not secure. It's got no back end. Can't believe that people would actually just willingly give over their freedom of information and everything, like, I mean, their information to something that isn't secure.
Well, I mean, that's already out there, Mike. I mean, that can't be your only disagreement with Obamacare.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of other reasons. I think it's going to be gutted anyways, Kelly, when it hits the Supreme Court. I think we're going to have a single-payer system eventually.
Is it going to be gutted like a nasty old catfish, like a 300-pound catfish?
But I'll tell you, the GOP better have some solutions, you know, because they don't have a plan of their own. And I think it's going to end up being single-payer.
Well, this is getting back to completing the circle here. Obamacare is more about smoke and mirrors than it is anything else. For example, they have provisions to pay for sex changes. I mean, how about regular health services for people that are, you know, in desperate need of stuff like heart surgery or whatever else, preventative medicine? Why would you pay for something that is so radical and so – well, let me explain. Mike, I got to go. Anything else?
Well, I just want to say, Kelly, there's a doctor that I talked to, and he said within 5 years he doesn't think there'll be any private doctors in practice anymore.
Uh-oh. Sounds like dystopia. Thanks for the call. Have a great day. Sorry, folks. Got to move on here.
Valentine's Day will be here before you know it. Go ahead and call Flower Rama now at 523-6400. Ask for this year's special. It includes a dozen roses, a pound of fine chocolates, and a big teddy bear. Flower Rama always has the most beautiful roses in town. Order online at flowerramaoflastruces.com or come by the store on the corner of El Paseo and Idaho. They're open 7 days a week. Remember, there's no minimum for delivery. Call 1-800-359-5405 and let Flower Rama take care of Valentine's Day.
Are you caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's disease or other related dementia? My name is Gino Rinaldi. I'm the Cabinet Secretary for the Department of Aging and Long-Term Services, the New Mexico Aging and Disability Resource Center, to provide you with free training, options counseling, and other resources to help you care for your loved one. You can contact us at 1-800-432-2080. Again, 1-800-432-2080.
Paid for by the Department of Aging and Long-Term Services and aired in cooperation with NMPA and this station.
Hi, welcome to AT&T.
Hi, can you tell us more about rollover data?
Yeah, what do we have to do?
Not a thing. If you're a mobile share value customer, your unused plan data automatically rolls over for 1 month. It's our way of saying thanks.
That's so wonderful.
You know, let's hug.
Oh, that's okay. We don't have to.
I think we do.
Yeah, I think we let's bring it in. Oh. Oh, wow. And we're hugging. All three of us. Really hugging.
Ooh, it smells like bacon.
Introducing AT&T Rollover Data. All mobile share value plans now come with rollover data on the network with the nation's strongest LTE.
It's Kelly here, and I guess we're running out of time on the first hour, but I want to get into this thing because it's I don't know, I think it's a little bit sad to me that people are caught up in this kind of this web of the way that the society talks about gender and everything and people that are unhappy inside, of course, I wish them all the best. But I read this article that came out, I probably read it 6 months ago, but it's First Things. It's a magazine, and it's called Surgical Sex, Why We Stopped Doing Sex Change Operations by Paul R. McHugh, November 2004. You can find it. Just go look up First Things and Sex Change or whatever. And, okay, so here is a few of the observations that he made. Number one, he was the head of, I mentioned this guy yesterday, I think, the head of John Hopkins unit that did the sex changes, and then they stopped doing them. I don't know if they did them 5 or 10 years, but they came to the conclusion that they were not effective. Now, here's a few of the points out of this article. He says the subjects, almost all male, struck me as even more strange as they struggled to convince anyone who might influence the decision for surgery. First, they spent an unusual amount of time thinking and talking about sex. Their sexual experiences, their sexual hungers and adventures seemed to preoccupy them. Second, discussion of babies or children provoked little interest from them. Indeed, they seemed indifferent to children. But third, and most remarkably, Many of these men who claimed to be women reported that they found women sexually attractive and that they saw themselves as lesbians. I'm not making this up. And, all right, so then he says, until 1975, when I became psychiatrist-in-chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital, which, as I mentioned yesterday, the premier research hospital in the world, I could usually just keep my opinion to myself, but once I was given this responsibility, I decided to look into it. Two things that he wanted to find out was to test the claim that men who had undergone sex change surgery found resolution, they found relief for their many general psychological problems and sex changes. And second, I wanted to see whether male infants with ambiguous genitalia who were being surgically transformed into females and raised as girls did, as the theory claimed, settle into this new gender. So what they found out, bearing in mind we're running out of time here, is number one, sex changes do not solve the general psychological crisis of these people. It resolves a superficial desire to change sexes, but what they found deep down is that there is still a crisis, a psychological crisis. And so he is claiming that this is malpractice to change people's sexes. The result is makes them even worse because you've totally ignored this psychological, this psychiatric crisis that these people are going through, number one. Number two, and then they did a study of boys when there was a period of time when boys were born with deformed genitalia, or if there was an accident, a little boy got his penis cut off when they tried to do a circumcision. Some of these surgeons would change these little babies into the opposite gender. You know, they would cut off their testicles and everything. What they found is that these children grew up with extreme, the vast majority of them grew up with extreme mental health issues. Well, they felt like they were male inside. And so this one famous case, his parents never told him, and then they told him when he was, I don't know, 16, and he immediately said, finally, my whole life makes sense to me now. And I've got a little clip here from Walt Heyer. It's a guy that's written a couple of books on this topic. He had a sex change and grew to regret it. Here is, yeah, I think the audio is a little bad. This is a homemade video, but check this out. Walt Heyer, sex change regret. All right, and so this is what they found. They found that 41% of the people that are in this get sex changes attempt suicide. Another 10% or more either refuse to accept the new gender or they refuse to dress as their new gender. It creates a crisis. It doesn't solve a crisis. So when somebody like Bruce Jenner thinks that he's going to be happier, he's really not going to be, you know. It's going to turn out to be a disappointment. And it's just so strange that they say that a lot of these guys are totally obsessed with cross-dressing because they're interested in females, and they end up, even if they get the sex change, they're still interested in women. Most of these people are not really homosexual, and there's no such thing according to this study. They did a study of 100 studies in Britain and found that sex changes are not effective for curing the underlying problems. Cowboy Junkies, take you out. We'll come back and after a break on the hour. Good morning, Kelly. Here it is. It's 7:06. You're listening to KOBE, the Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450. 805-6180 to text in. And all right, so I think Ben Rawson is probably on his way to the studio, so I want to continue on a little bit about Bruce Jenner getting a sex change. Can you change your sex? It's a huge issue out there. People are obviously confused. It's most typically male to female. And if you listen to how this article was written by Paul McHugh, who used to be the head of the first hospital to do these sex changes, he says it's, if you think about this, who's more interested in sex, men or women? Men are, you know, more, it's on their mind more. It's basically a fetish, if I understand what his point is, that it is an extreme case of a fetish. You know, Bruce Jenner was into cross-dressing. And so let me play you just a little bit of a clip, more from Walt Heyer, who's put a website together. Well, just look up sex change regret, and this guy's name will come up. All right, so let me just put it to you this way. This guy who got this sex change, Walt Heyer, he was raised in a family where I believe his grandmother or his parents or his grandparents had treated him. Well, I've got a clip right here from him. He's got his own YouTube site. I just want to let you know, there are I just think it is an absolute scandal that the media does not allow counterpoints to get out there on a lot of these stories. A lot of these things that the media promotes, like the idea of gay marriage and sex changes and stuff like that. It doesn't come out that there's another side to the whole thing, and anybody who disagrees with it is treated like a leper, and it is killing the society in general to not allow there to be a serious and respected debate on both sides of issues. But here's this guy talking about his childhood. This guy says that when he went and got his sex change, the counselor just said, well, it sounds like she listened to him for a few minutes. Sounds like you're in the wrong body, that you should consider getting a sex change. And he was just kind of ushered into this thing, and he was not told about any of the downside. For example, 41% attempted suicide. Check this out. One more time, this guy's name is Walt Heyer. That's H-E-Y-E-R if you want to look it up. Do your own research. I'm going to get this guy on my show. Yeah.
He's kind of an evangelist on this issue. You know, he wants to talk to anybody.
He's been totally trashed.
How's the recall going? Somebody wanted me to sue the city for this.
All right, it goes on for a couple more minutes, but you get the picture here. This guy who went through a sex change has said that it's totally ineffective. Here's the issue. A lot of these people have some event in their life or events which cause them to doubt their orientation. They might get molested, you know, by somebody of the same sex. They might be treated as, you know, given a different name than their gender would suggest. And the upshot is, and thanks, we have a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, sorry to interrupt again, but that was very interesting. And that guy kind of sounded like a cross between Barney Frank and Liberace. But, Kelly, I just wanted to know, did you hear about O.J. Simpson in jail?
Is this a joke? He's in jail.
No,
I understand he's in jail, but what about him?
This is true. He was getting oral sex from a transvestite, and the prisoners turned on him for doing that. So they kind of thought it was a, you know, like a girly man.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mike. I'll talk to you a little later. Thank you. Folks, let's take a break, and we will be right back. 523-1450 to call in. Unless you have sex stories, which we can skip. And 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Jim, why did you buy geothermal refrigerated air now?
Did you think it was appropriate to hang up on it?
Yes.
Hey, it's Kelly here, and did you hear the one about O.J. Simpson in the shower? True story. Anyway, we've got Ben Rossin here, and we were kind of laughing off the air. Mike, do you have a psychologist? Just curious. Ben had asked if he could come on to talk about some of the stuff going on. Ben is a county commissioner who just won election, and a Republican in a Democratic county, so not easy to do. All right, so Ben, what is going on?
Kelly, thanks for having me on this morning. You know, the big item from yesterday's agenda was the gross receipts tax increase, and the commission voted 3-2, with me and Commissioner Garcia opposing, to vote on a 3/8 of 1% tax increase in our second meeting in March. And so for those of you that were at the meeting, it's not over. We've got one more fight coming up, and we only need to win one more vote to stop this from going through.
How can people support you on this? How can people express yet again, after they already did it in the ballot box, three different votes, three different elections, how can they support you on not increasing taxes?
You know, Kelly, you brought up a good point I'm going to touch on first, which is those three different ballots. We had the last November ballot, we had the gross receipts tax for transportation that was killed by 60-40 margin, which is a landslide in political terms.
Especially in this town.
Then you had the spring before that, we had a vote on the Doñana soil and water conservation tax increase, and that one was soundly defeated. And then you had one almost 2 years ago to deal with funding the 911 call center. And that one was killed as well. So the people have made their opinion very clear that they do not want to see their taxes raised. And
Vox Populi, Vox Dei, Ben. The voice of the people is the voice of God.
You know, I don't think some of my fellow commissioners believe that. Some of them believe that they are smarter than the people that they are elected to represent.
Well, they hear the footsteps of Karl Marx and they feel emboldened.
So here we've got a decision by the county commission that we don't care what the voters think. This time we're not going to take it to them. We're just going to go vote on it ourselves.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I was playing this like the anti-sex change clip earlier is because I remember growing up and hearing all this stuff in the media, and there wasn't an argument against it. And I'm thinking, you know, this shows a small part of the media, but in the same way that we're talking about, there's an argument. There are actual arguments for not getting a sex change. There's also logical arguments for not increasing taxes. And there is, in our history, there have people who have fought and died just on taxes.
There sure are. Our country has a proud history of that. That's for sure.
The American Revolution, Ben, as you know, started as a tax revolt.
It did indeed. And it got the attention of the English at that point in time. But, you know, we're sitting here where the voters have clearly said no, and yet we're considering it anyway. And the guise that we're considering it under is that we are losing money from the state's hold harmless reimbursement. And to give you an idea, next year the county will lose about $100,000. So they came up with this terrific plan. They're going to raise $12.3 million to make up for it.
Oh.
That's what the tax increase comes out to, that 3/8 of a percent.
We've got a phone call. It could be round three. Is this Mike?
No, it's Leon.
Thank God. Mike, go to bed. Go back to bed. Hey, so what's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, this gross receipts tax thing, but, you know, the legislature let the counties do this to make up for the whole harvest that was lost. And it was going to take 15 years for them to lose all of it. And so that's why they had the increments of 1/8, 2/8, 3/8. We've got both the city of Las Cruces and the county deciding to take the whole thing right off the bat. So they're going to have all this additional money coming in now, but in 15 years when they're lacking some of the funds, they're not going to have a way to recoup it. So now they have to go from 3/8 right now. The amount that they're losing at this point is much smaller than that. So why don't if they believe they need to increase taxes, why don't they do 1/8 now? And then when they start losing more through that phase out, then they can impose the other if it's needed. But they
will
just want to grab it all right away.
Will, back off that microphone for a second. We can barely hear you. I think I heard what you said, but your main point is what? Just in one sentence.
Why do they have to take 3/8 right now instead of just 1/8?
Will, you're exactly right. To give you an idea, the gross receipts tax, or excuse me, the hold harmless that the county received last year, all of last year, was $1.8 million. $1.8 million is all that we've received. And so you're right, in 15 years, we will lose that full $1.8 million. in increments of just over $100,000 each year for the next 15 years. And so what they're doing now, the point that you are making, is they're talking about a gross receipts tax that would raise $12.3 million every single year to make up for a loss of less than $2 million 15 years from now. It's absolutely inappropriate and uncalled for.
Scandalous.
And how much will be lost in this next fiscal year?
This next fiscal year, the county commission will receive $100,000 less. But not if we pass the $12.3 million tax increase. We'll actually get $12.2 million additional dollars.
But just get spin off on whatever. That was really my point. So thanks and have a great day.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Ben, I want to get back to here. Okay, you know, these are basic principles. You don't have to listen to science as it's presented to you or what's claimed to be science and not hear the other side. You don't have to hear from the county commissioners that we need a tax increase that the people voted against and act like there's only one way to understand the universe. In this country, we have something called the Constitution, the introduction to the Constitution is the Declaration. There is no right to just randomly or repeatedly go take taxes from people.
You know, Kelly, this is something else. I just can't believe after hearing soundly from the voters three times in a row that we're going to go forward with this. And I'm grateful for Dr. Garcia, who's a fellow commissioner who also voted against it.
Yeah. Thanks, Doc. Who's driving, as far as you can tell, who's the driving force of this mad tax lust? It's a tax lust, Ben.
You know, that sits fairly on the chairman's shoulders, Chairman Billy Garrett.
Billy Garrett, your forebears who were gunslingers would be ashamed of you. Don't you think?
You know, there's so many things about the gross receipts tax. This is a regressive tax. This is a tax
that hurts
the poorest in our community.
What does regressive mean in this sense?
In this sense, it means that it affects those people that are on the low wage earners much more than it does the high wage earners.
All right. And folks, remember, this is one of the poorest parts of the country. And if you put a burden on the people, it crushes the poor, right?
It sure does. You know, the average person in Doñana County, this tax will be $58 a person per man, woman, and child in Doñana County. That's what it will be annually, is $58. And there's a lot of people. Dr. Garcia mentioned this quite a bit yesterday down in his district, down in Chaparral at Anthony, to afford that. Especially when you're talking about a family of five, that comes up to $290 a year. Additional money that the county is going to take away from our residents.
Gasoline is going up again.
Gasoline's on its way back up.
So, and we've got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is David.
David, thank you for the call, and what's on your mind?
You know, this tax increase is also being driven by Mr. Hancock, and he's also driving, doing this regional bus thing again. I went down to the meeting last Tuesday when he's, you know, he's going to figure out a way to get somebody to the TRC to be able to go down to the Sonoma Park racetrack and have fun on the dime in the back of Doñana County. And somehow, some way, we got to put a stop to this.
He's a regular Ralph Cramden.
He is.
Yeah, the Honeymooner.
You know what?
The Honeymooner.
You know,
Ralph Cramden in the Honeymooners was played by whatever his name, the fat guy, drove a bus. But how can we, in your opinion, how can we stand up to this? I mean, it's like the minority of people wanted it at the ballot box, but the majority of counselors wanted. I mean, it's just so frustrating.
Well, you know, other than doing a recall, I don't know how you put a stop to them, because, you know, they don't care about the voters. Care less. They have an agenda, and they just want to seem to push it through. So we spoke at the ballot box, and we told them no, resoundingly, no, we don't want any more taxes. We told the city that a couple years ago, and they did the same thing. So obviously, these people are not listening. So, you know, maybe we need to get the group together that recalled the city council and start recalling these three clowns sitting down there on the county council. We got to put a stop to it.
The three clowns. I like that. And Ben, what's your phone number?
My phone number, David, is 575-649-4153. And I'd encourage Kelly, anyone who's listening, to give me a call, send me an email, and I'll continue to circulate those to the rest of the county commissioners and show them where public support is on this issue.
David, maybe we need some angry farmers with, you know, pitchforks and torches to show up.
Well, you know, if it would scare somebody, you know, I'm not inciting violence, but you know, if we got to do something to scare some people, maybe we need to do that.
Well, I mean, the scare of the life of Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small, was the recall. He had a come to Jesus moment where he realized he had to talk to his constituents. He had an actual evolution.
Well, you know, I've already threatened my councilman with a recall, but you know, he
who's
just
your councilman?
Called on deaf ears.
Who's your councilman?
Hancock.
Let's send him a very cheap hearing aid so he gets the point.
Well, I send him emails. I email him at least once or twice a week. I emailed him a couple times this week and last week about, you know, the boondoggle bus going out to the boondoggle space station. You know, maybe they'd get Bill McCamley to do a juggling act as entertainment on the bus and things like that. So
the gay apostle? He probably didn't
appreciate my sarcastic humor, but he doesn't. He just doesn't seem to get it. He's gonna push it through. And you know, I wish Mr. Rawson was my council person, but unfortunately, I've got someone else that doesn't seem to get it.
Maybe we should redistrict.
Well, David, I really appreciate those comments, and for anyone else listening, I'm actively raising funds for my next campaign because it's going to be a battle. So I really appreciate your kind words there, and thank you very much.
Yeah, David, thanks for the call, and it's reminding me of the what was the name of that book? The Kool-Aid Acid Test, the Merry Pranksters and their bus. Folks, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, here's a little more news. It's Kelly here, and good morning to you. Anyway, we're talking about this gross receipts tax. We got a call from Will. We got a call from David. David is threatening a recall. I don't think a recall is easy from what I understand. It has to go through a judge, and it would have to have 10,000 votes. So, folks, it's like maybe it's like the lesson that we've learned the last few years. Be careful who you elect.
Boy, that's the truth, Kelly. Elections are really important, and on the county commission, we've got elections coming up next year. Three of the sitting county commissioners will be up for reelection, and anyone that's interested in running in those districts should be thinking about it right now. But back to the gross receipts tax issue, Kelly, for those people who may have just tuned in, we've got 3/8.
Oh, pardon me, we've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Miles.
Hey, Miles, thanks for the call, and what's on your mind?
Well, I just was going to ask the question of what are the cost-saving measures that have been discussed about saving $100,000 this year?
You know, that I was thinking about that, and I kind of blanked on bringing it in, but here's the issue. Here is it in a nutshell. That's you're giving an example of the general principle of
of business.
But it's presented to us as the only way forward. If you had any insight, if you had any knowledge about how the universe works, you'd accept that we need more taxes. There's no discussion like you're saying, how do we tighten our belts a little bit? Why do the people to step up?
$100,000 in a big in a city of our size, we should be able to find $100,000 pretty easy.
We sure should, Miles. And, you know, our county commission budget is $137 million. That's the budget. And when you look at cutting $100,000, that is absolutely nothing in the basket. But nobody is even willing to have that conversation at all.
Yeah, sounds like somebody maybe doesn't need a salary.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a shame to tell people that the only moral choice they have is to vote for or to accept more taxes. I don't understand. I understand believing that we need more taxes. I don't understand presenting it as the only morally acceptable choice.
Yeah, I think it'd be more amenable to something like that if all of your other options were looked into as far as, you know, well, we tried to save here and gosh darn it, look at there, we found $100,000 that we can save.
You know, Miles, since 2010, the county commission has increased their spending by 31% just in a few short years. And so that's why there's no money, is because we're spending like drunken sailors. I say we only because I'm one of the commissioners, but I certainly am not in support of these actions that they're taking. Just in the last year at the county government level, we've added two entirely new departments. there's easy ways to cut that money if we're at all interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, that the business that I'm in, you know, we're going to be hit the increase in our costs and overhead just because of minimum wage increase and Obamacare and everything like that. But guess what? We just got to.
That's right. You've got to make it work. And as a business owner myself with Ross and Builder Supply, I understand that. You know, the construction industry was hit very hard from 2006 to today, where we're still on a downward trend locally. And the only way we've been able to stay in business is by paying attention to the bottom line and making those hard decisions. So I'm right with you there. We need to be making those hard decisions, and we need a commission that's willing to do that as well.
Miles, anything else? Hello? I guess we lost him. All right, so here is, just to repeat this, I think our problem in this country to a certain degree is we don't remember where we came from. July 4th, 1776, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from this consent of the governed. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. From how I read the introduction to our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, what is being done in this county right now is unjust. It is not representative of the will of the people. Therefore, it is wrong. And according to what Thomas Aquinas, and some of these other researchers would say, it would be an illegal law. A bad law is no law at all. According to Thomas Aquinas, the greatest of all of the natural law, and all of the, you know, the founders believed that. Of course they did. That's why they had the revolution. John Locke believed that. I mean, all these great thinkers. But we're in this county. We've got mandarins. We have people who consider themselves gods among men who are going to make decisions that the people have repeatedly said to them, no, we don't want this.
That's right. And Kelly, they don't care. They're ready to go forward with it anyway. And that's an embarrassment. It's absolutely wrong. And I hope that residents in county commissioners' districts, Garrett, Hancock, and Benavides, will contact their commissioners. Because I'll remind you, when it's just a 5-member board like we have, Kelly, all we need is one more vote to put this thing to bed.
All right. So we've got you. We've got Dr. Martin
Garcia.
And who's the most likely third?
You know, Kelly, I think we need to work hard on all three of them. They need to hear from their constituents that this is not appropriate.
It is immoral to tell the people you have to pay more taxes without doing a reckoning on how it's already being spent, right?
That's exactly right, Kelly.
How much over the budget are we?
This year, the county commission approved a budget that spends $24 million more than what we're bringing in. I was the only one that voted against that, Kelly. If this gross receipts tax goes through, the city tax rate is going to be 8.375%. That will be 8.375%. We will be the third highest taxed county in the entire state. Third highest taxed county in the entire state. It is absolutely the wrong direction to go. We've heard from the voters how clearly we don't need to go that direction. You know, we talked earlier about it being a regressive tax. Those people on the lower income side will get hit a lot harder with this. This is just not the right thing that we need to do, Kelly. There's so many clear indicators against it.
Well, we have grown up with this kind of leftist media that has continually taken the position that the only righteous stand is to increase taxes. There's never any discussion over how the taxes are spent.
That's absolutely right, Kelly. You know, we talked about the budget a minute ago, spending $24 million more than what's coming in, and not prioritizing that spending where we're spending money that we don't need to be spending. We need to focus on what's important. That's public safety. should be the number one always in funding, and that's not been the case at all.
What are we getting for the extra 24? And first, number one, how much longer can we spend $24 million extra dollars every year?
At the beginning of this year, we had $74 million left in our rainy day fund. So that would say we've got 3 years left at this drunken spending spree.
Now, didn't some of these county commissioners say that they thought it was the moral thing to do to spend out the rainy day fund?
Yeah.
Why?
That's exactly right, Kelly.
Why?
You know, they claim that it's not being it's not appropriate to keep money in reserves when it's really the people's money and it should be spent for them. You know, Kelly, my obvious argument to that is money that's in savings creates investment income, and that lowers the tax burden on all of the residents. So that's really a foolish and short-sighted argument that was being made.
I just feel discouraged when I, you know, if I didn't understand it, I would be totally mystified, but it comes out of leftism. It comes out of this extraordinarily destructive teaching from leftism that if you buy into this far-left liberal set of beliefs, you become an elite person. You are raised up above the rest of the mortal men and women. You become filled with so much insight. And look at the people that believe that in Russia and China created misery and disaster and a hell on earth when they implemented, when nobody was there to stand against them. There was no opposition party. I'm not saying that we're going to, you know, create a new Holocaust here, but why can't people look at in the past and see that these ideas have been tried and failed repeatedly and they've never succeeded, even once?
Well, Kelly, I would say the voters have. You know, the voters look at this and they said no new gross receipts tax. I've told you about the last three elections. I don't even know how long it's been since we approved a gross receipts tax by the voters.
Hey, this is Kelly. Thanks for the call to the Kelly Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Rob.
Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
At 3% interest, $74 million draws $2.22 million a year. What the heck is wrong with those people?
Rob, I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Go on. Let's develop this a little bit.
Well, that's it. It's in the paper, you know? Read it.
Yeah, the interest income is a substantial thing that can lower the cost of doing of the county to do business. And just to spend that money just to spend it is not appropriate. And then we're sitting here going, we have to have more money because we're spending too much. You know,
right.
I don't know how to get out of that box.
I don't either. I'm speechless. You know, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob. Speechlessness is not good radio. Anything else?
No,
thanks a lot, Rob. All right. So, all right, let's take a little tiny comedy break here. Stephen Wright will be right back, folks. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180, and we've got Ben Rawson with us. And are you leaving, Ben? All right, no, he was, but not, he's not now. We'll be right back. Check out some Stephen Wright. Kelly here, and I've got Ben Rawson. And Ben, what is the overarching theme that you want people to understand about the county commission and what's happening right now?
You know, Kelly, the first thing I want people to understand is that it is not the argument for the hold harmless doesn't fly. The county's losing $100,000 and we're going to raise your taxes by $10.3 million. That argument is absolutely stupid.
Who's made this obscene argument?
That's the whole basis for which the gross receipts tax is being increased, is the hold harmless legislation is what is being used to do that. And it's absolutely incorrect. Secondly, Kelly, I would say that our gross receipts tax, if this goes through at 8.375% within the Las Cruces city limits, is extremely difficult for people to be competitive with El Paso businesses. You know, when we start talking about services, El Paso's sales tax of 8.5% does not apply to services. So for anyone that's doing, a lot of construction activities, yard work, any of those type of things, anything labor related, that does not apply at all to them. So it makes us less and less competitive with people coming out of El Paso. The third thing I'd say on that, Kelly, is that the voters have spoken very, very clearly. We've heard from them very clearly three times that they do not want additional gross receipts taxes, not for the 911 call center, not for dam maintenance, not for transportation needs. And yet this tax increase here would have, we could use it for anything we wanted to, and that's absolutely wrong. So that's what I want to get across, Kelly.
Limited government?
Limited government. It's, we're not even considering, as I think Miles was that said, we're not even considering cutting any of that spending. You know, when we talk about $100,000, it's absolutely nothing to cut in a $137 million budget. And yet that conversation is not taking place at all. And we need people to contact their county commissioner and say that this is not the appropriate way to run a government. You know, we don't run our personal lives this way. We don't run our businesses this way. And by golly, we can't run government this way either, Kelly.
I agree. Okay, so what's your phone number?
My phone number, Kelly, is 575-649-4153. And people can also contact me via Facebook if they'd rather, or come by the county building at on Motel Boulevard, and they can speak to their commissioners there as well. You know, Kelly, this is a really important issue as we continue to have no economic recovery here in Doñana County. To give you an idea, for the first 5 months of the year, gross receipts are down by 3%, and that means that there's 3% less business taking place in Doñana County than there was last year. And the county commission is doing everything in its power to make it harder for the economy to recover.
I thought the economy was recovered from what we've been told in the media.
Yeah, well, Kelly, don't believe everything you hear.
Well, I talked to a truck driver, and he told me that it was definitely not recovered. And I said, how do you know? And he says, I know because of the orders for getting, you know, the orders that we get or don't get. And he said, you know, it's basically you can't hide the fact that the economy is not growing from truck drivers, because they know better than anybody else does from the goods that need to be delivered. So, and I took that as a true statement, you know.
That's right. Truck drivers are the backbone of moving products around this country, and they sure understand that when there's 3% less purchases take place, that means there's 3% less product being moved around the country.
Indeed. All right, folks, how about some thanks for coming in, by the way, Ben.
Absolutely, Kelly. Thank you again for having me, and I'll put one last shout out there. If anyone's needing doors or windows, fireplaces or garage doors, come see me. Thank you.
What's the number to Rawson's Building Supply?
524-3568.
A mummified 200-year-old monk is not dead, but in very deep meditation. And they found this guy, and they've done some forensics investigation. He was found sitting in the lotus position. And he's so they say if a person does that, the tuck dam position, it's one step away from becoming a real-life Buddha. And Gangugin Parabhata, founder and professor of Mongolian Institute of Buddhist Art, says the Lama is sitting in the lotus position, Vajra, the left hand is open, the right hand symbolizes the preaching of the sutra, and he's not dead. He may not look good, but he's not actually dead. A British grandmother on death row in Bali is going to be executed as the new president pledges no mercy for drug traffickers. She's 57 years old and was caught smuggling 1.6 pounds worth of cocaine. That's about $2.5 million worth of cocaine into Bali. All appeals have been denied, and she's getting ready for an electrifying experience, apparently. Man gets coffee jar stuck up bottom. Worst sexual misadventure, x-rays revealed, and radiologists are showing for the first time some of the worst things that have been stuck up people, including a coffee jar and a deodorant can, lighter fluid bottles, a male 21 who did that, an instant coffee jar, adult male, an orange, male 45, and a pestle that you grind stuff with. Maybe he was dancing. Male 40-year-old did that. And the Radiopedia website, if you want to go and look into that, there's also an egg, an aubergine, an axe handle, a sports drink bottle, a homemade object fashioned from an empty tube of Barocca tablets with a spray nozzle on the end, and Another guy had the Obregon was called a horticultural misadventure. Folks, thanks for listening in, and have a great day. Kelly O'Connell will meet you back in 22 hours. KOBE, ciao. Cowboy Junkies, Blue Moon Revisited.